Welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am pleased, displeased to announce that I've essentially taken on a new full-time job, and that is desperately trying to find new clothes for summer. I don't know what is going on out there. I've been scouring every single mall brand that exists. I'm talking Anthropologie, Free People, Abercrombie, Zara, Old Navy. I've been going through every single item on these websites, desperately trying to find something that's summery, that's made of cotton or linen that I can wear in really, really hot temperatures, and something that still feels like me, that isn't like a solid color, that's kind of fun, because I love fun clothes. I've been scouring all of them, and it is taking more time than I ever anticipated. And I gotta tell you, there's nothing out there. There's just kind of nothing out there. When did they make every shirt with a tie in front? I'm sorry. Sometimes I have to be around adults and like business. I almost said comrades, business colleagues. Like I have to sometimes be hot and busy. You know what I mean? Not hot like, ooh, I'm hot. Like hot, like it's hot out. Global warming is here. It has arrived. And I have to be like warm and also wear this stuff. It's very stressful to me. It's very stressful. I'm clearly like very wrapped up in it, if you can't tell. I had to, before I restarted my computer to begin recording this podcast, I had to close about 250 windows from Zara.com. And let me tell you, half their summer clothes are made out of polyester. Like, I don't know what's going on, but that's not besides the point. We're not here to talk about that. We are here to talk about that Zara is selling vegetable brooches, like little pins shaped like corn and a pepper. I will be buying them. But again, I have no summer clothes to pull clothes in to put them on. Regardless, we are here because we are talking about Disney World with a baby, woo, or a toddler. If you got a small kid, you're bringing them to Disney World. This episode is for you. And not if you're just like the primary caregiver, if you are going with family and there is a small child, if you one day might go with a small child, or listen, if you're chilling, you don't have any kids, you're sleeping in on the weekends, you are soaking up all of the envy that I have for you at this moment. If you don't have kids and you're just like wondering how other people live and what it's like to go to the parks and you want to cherish drinking around the world at Epcot a little more, this episode is also for you. There is so much news happening at Disney also, and I wanted to put it all in this episode, but even more news broke while I was finishing this episode. I like can't stay ahead of the little bits of news that are coming out. Like we might get airline resort check-in pack. They're doing a pilot program, which is what I've heard on the internet today. It's just Southwest Airlines and it's just Pop Century, which is like as small and pilot as you can get. But if this works and they expand to more hotels and more hotels, and more airlines, we might have one core piece of why we used to cherish staying in a Disney World hotel back with us. And if they bring back Magical Express, and if they bring back where you go to the airport at home and you check your bag and it arrives in your room, if they bring back those things, I don't need a Magic Band. I like don't need as many perks. That stuff will make me a believer. I will be out here praising Disney World hotels, and you know that I don't feel great about them all the time because they don't have comforters and they don't have a lot of amenities. There's really no concierge. You have no opportunity, even no like advantage if you stay at a Disney hotel to dine there that night. If you want to eat at a restaurant in your hotel, you kind of have no advantage. It doesn't work like hotels anywhere else on earth. But if they bring those back, I will be shouting from the rooftops. I mean, a lot of people have been demanding Disney reveal what their counter programming is to Epic Universe for years now, myself among them. And if it's just to give us back what we lost during the pandemic, I'm ready. Okay, we gotta turn it over to this episode. I gotta bounce. Stick around. There's so much good advice and good stuff to talk through. There's so much fun. So much fun ahead. Okay, I love you. I'll see you on the other side. See you in a second. Bye! Welcome back to our episode about visiting Walt Disney World with a baby or a toddler. And before we start, I have to tell you, I am suffering from the largest ever case of extreme deja vu. Because the reason we are doing this episode this week, true story, is that someone commented on an Instagram video I posted recently, and I went to send them my Disney World with a baby or toddler episode and was shocked to find out it didn't exist. It just wasn't in the feed. So me being like, I am surely know I've worked on this. I know this episode exists. I went into my documents and I found the most detailed outline I have ever written for a podcast episode. And I guess I just never recorded it. I mentioned this to my mom and she's like, yeah, you said you were recording too many episodes about visiting the parks with a baby or toddler and you wanted to balance it out so you didn't do it. But I have no memory of that. I have absolutely no memory of putting this episode together and then, I guess, abandoning it last minute and planning on doing it in the future. Like, it's not even, I didn't even shift it around in my schedule. I don't know what's happening. So if this episode exists in your feed already and just doesn't in mine, I apologize that you're getting it twice, but I checked everything and I've never done it. So we're here and it's happening. And I'm so glad because I have so much really worthwhile advice to give you. And putting this out right before some spring break trips, before summer trips, the timing couldn't be better. And I am beyond thrilled that we are finally pushing this live. Because this is going to be our quintessential Disney World with a baby episode. If you are here and you go to Disney World regularly, if you've never been with a kid before, do not worry. It's a lot, but this episode should answer most questions that you have. And if it doesn't, please give me a call on the Churros hotline. As you will see with today's call, I am here to answer any of your trip questions. Child or childless, any trip, I am here for you. And instead of doing this one guide style like we did for our Disneyland episode, I'm just kind of going to hit you with the main themes, just to give you the most important information without overwhelming you. This episode could be 10 hours long. This could truly be a Ken Burns documentary length, but I'm trying to streamline it because if you're going to Disney World with a kid under 3, you don't have a lot of free time, so I'm trying to make it as easy on you as possible. And I say that because, again, this episode is mostly for kids who are under 3. I'm told by parents that a lot of the stuff I recommend is similar for older toddlers. I almost called them oldlers. Oldlers. But personally, as you know, I am not there yet. My kid just turned 2. So if you are going with a baby, a younger toddler, you have multiple kids, etc., this will help kickstart or follow through any planning that you've already begun on. Because this episode is crammed with the tips and tricks that I have gleaned and the knowledge I have learned the hard way from bringing a baby and a toddler to Disney parks so often. More often than most people in Los Angeles think is normal. Because there's a look in their eyes when I tell them I'm going back to the parks, and it is not one of support. But you know what? I have to bring her this much. Because visiting Disney World between 6 months and 12 months, and 12 months and 18 months, and 18 months and 24 months, are 3 totally different children. Legitimately, one cannot digest solids, and the other somehow needs to be fed every 25 minutes. I had to be out here in the parks experiencing this firsthand so I could talk about it with you. And having lived it, I feel like I know most everything you need to know. Because Disney World isn't just like taking them on a vacation or on a flight or like a long day at a destination. Disney World is a massive theme park resort with 4 theme parks, a themed mall, monorails, water parks, cars, buses, characters, and so much more. And doing that with a child in a stroller, in the heat, with rides, it's a lot to wrap your brain around. Because as you know, planning a trip to Disney World for one person is tricky. So planning it for people who can't really opine about needing things and having thoughts and it, before they can express even words, it's a lot. And I am here for you. So whether you have an annual pass or you've brought your kid before, you've been once or twice with a baby, you're just an aunt or an uncle just to a beautiful nephew or niece, and you just want to study up before your family comes to town, this episode was designed to help you tackle all that information in the easiest way possible. And I will stop telling you about this episode and just get into it, starting with my first tip. Quiet the voice in your head that is keeping you from going. I guarantee a not 0% of people listening are on the fence about going at all. Maybe they're waiting until their kid is older, 5, 6, 7, until the younger kid grows up, and so on and so on. You're probably thinking, they're not going to remember it, or this is a lot of work for what's supposed to be a vacation, or is this really worth it? And yeah, believe it or not, I've had those same thoughts too. Disney World with a baby or toddler is full of high highs and low lows. Like, I'm gonna yell at my mom, but I'm also gonna experience moments of her with my baby or toddler that I will remember for the rest of my life. Doing this, visiting Disney World with a small child, is not easy. I'm not gonna lie to you. I've done it, and I'm here to tell the tale. But it is worth it. And that's what you'll kind of see all over this episode and anytime I talk about bringing my child. Is packing for a human blob who only eats milk or porridge or puffs easy? No! Is figuring out nap schedules on the go or keeping them cool in hot weather simple? Absolutely not! But you'll bring the fan and the backup charger and the change of clothes and the snack and the water and the milk and the formula, and you'll be like, why am I doing this? Until you take them on a ride and you see their little eyes open wider than you've ever experienced before, with their little hand clutching you during the dark parts or shouting or signing to ask for more the moment you step off board a ride. Or you get to witness them overcome their aversion to water by playing in a Moana-themed fountain, or at long last enjoying a pool in the shadow of your favorite Disney hotel. Or you get to dance with them to the music of Encanto as the sun sets on a hot day, and as they begin to walk, see them use those little legs to walk on the same Epcot walkways you've spent years and years of your own life walking on. You see what I mean? No amount of packing stress can compare to that. The memories I have from Pearl over the ages there are core, pure, forever memories that I wouldn't change for the world. Even if I do consider a cross-country flight with a child to be mildly to majorly torturous. She may not remember it, but I'll never forget it. The bad, the flights, but also the good and all of the memories that live in my phone and in my heart. And that's the reason we do this. Because when it comes to taking your tiny child to Disney World, and yeah, my tips are also convincing you to go, it is a window of age that is rapidly closing. And if there's one thing I've learned from this, it's that if you are on the fence, remember, this window is closing. And that's not hyperbole. I mean, literally the window to bring them for free is closing. They are free until they are 3 years old. Do you know how much it's gonna cost to take them when they turn three? Your little blob who's like just becoming a person is going to cost at least $100 a day for a one park ticket. You are going to be sinking in big money for a small toddler once the clock strikes 3 years old. So as challenging as it is to travel with young ones, there really is a benefit to powering through and doing it, even if it is just before their third birthday. That's Disney girl math for ya. Now with that out of the way, let's get into the nitty gritty of tips and tricks. And I wanna prepare you because park transportation is going to be a whole new ball game. Weirdly, getting around is so much trickier with an infant than it is for any other trip. It goes from being like, ugh, I don't want to wait for a bus, to what do you mean I need to edge my way into this packed tube while carrying a tired human being and a big metal rectangle? You have to collapse your stroller for some forms of Disney transportation, which for me, at this age, is a deal breaker. And if you think I'm being dramatic or I'm exaggerating, let me put it this way. I think I've thought of the like exact example. Imagine if every time you left a Disney park, you had to unpack your entire purse or backpack. Like, no joke, you had to take out your water bottle, your caramel popcorn, your mints, your money, everything floating around inside, and just hold it in your arms, clutch it until you arrive at your next destination. That's what it's like to go on a bus with a small child at Disney World. And it's doable, but it's annoying. And I feel like if you're here, you gotta conserve energy where you can. And if you are dealing with anything physical on top of that, ranging from back pain, which I think every parent has, to any accessibility concerns, it becomes even trickier. Because there are no seat belts in this bus. So you're also a human purse and a car seat. And yeah, maybe if you're the kind of parent who like has a little umbrella stroller and just like a little bag and nothing else, this isn't gonna faze you. But it's not just the stuff. Moving them in and out of a stroller in toddler years is not chill. Once they're in, you just kind of wanna keep them in. So let's break down the rules and vibes of transportation options when you are at Disney so that you feel prepared to plan your park days accordingly. Starting with Disney buses. They will take you almost anywhere you need to go, but they require you to fold up your stroller, which means taking everything out and carrying it on top of being on top of your kid. This is why I always recommend collapsible tote bags, just to make this process easier. If you have a small child, a baby in a carrier is like kind of fine. The whole thing isn't as bad if you have that. I've done that. I've even fed on the bus. It was fine. But if you have a toddler, it really makes things tricky. No seatbelt, a sugar-filled gremlin who thinks this is yet another ride, a big stroller, a lot of bags. It just can get really complicated, especially at night and especially if the bus is full. If you're staying off property in a non-Disney hotel, you probably have coach bus transportation available to you, which actually is kind of amazing. To me, this is way easier. Usually you can store things underneath. There's probably no standing allowed, so you're guaranteed an actual seat. And when you're sitting in those seats, you're more contained than in the city-style Disney transportation bus. So just because you're staying off property, don't be like, oh, how are we gonna get there? It's not as easy, there's no monorail. No, you're kind of okay, and the buses aren't as bad. Now, speaking of, monorails are easy as can be. Strollers can stay open, they can go in any of the cars as long as there's room, and there usually is room, so it's great, because even if it's busy, you can stand or sit and hold onto the stroller without feeling unsafe. Same with the Skyliner. Strollers can stay open, they can go in any car, but I will warn you, getting off the Skyliner with a stroller is quite possibly the most terrifying thing you will do as a parent, because you're moving and you gotta get off, and you can get yourself off easily, but then you gotta get the stroller off, and you kind of have to like do it all in motion. It's like, imagine you were taking a stroller off the Haunted Mansion. You know that like stressful moment where you're like, gotta go. It's that, but on a Skyliner. And so you kind of like gotta walk to the side as you're pulling the stroller out. It just doesn't feel good. It feels a little scary. I'm not gonna lie. It feels a little like, oh my God, is my child gonna get trapped in the Skyliner? They're not, because they'll stop it if they have to. But taking them off once you're off and they're in the Skyliner, and it's a weird little dance. It's a weird little dance. I did it a bunch on my last trip. I got pretty good at it, but it's still, I won't lie, it still stresses me out. That shouldn't keep you from going to the Skyliner. Skyliner is amazing, amazing with a stroller, but that little moment, nobody talks about that moment. It's stressful. Anyway, all of that aside, this is kind of why I think driving to the parks when you have a young child is actually kind of amazing. Even if you do require a parking tram to get you from your car to the front gate, I mean, if you're parking, your stroller is already collapsed and things aren't really set up in there yet, so you can kind of get away with carrying everything and setting up shop upon your arrival. Renting a car also makes airport transportation a lot easier at this age. You'll need a car seat or you need to rent one, but since you know how you'll be getting around and you're in charge of it, it also, on top of that, like not only is that good, but it also functions as this air-conditioned transportation sleep pod, which can be so clutch when they're young and they're still on two naps, and possibly if they just refuse to sleep at the parks. For water transportation, like boats from the Magic Kingdom area hotels to the parks, between Epcot and Hollywood Studios, it's case dependent, but generally you do not need to collapse strollers. I've heard exceptions either way, but that's kind of the through line from what I've experienced. Still, I think it's kind of, I don't know, it's a net win to be on a boat. It's a ride instead of true transportation. It just feels a little more fun. And if you have a double stroller, I've heard that they can sometimes be asked to collapse on certain forms of transportation just because of their size. So if you're rolling wide, just keep that in mind. But if you are ever in a transportation pickle, do not sleep on minivan transportation. This is Disney's partnership with Lyft. It is separate vehicles that are operated by Disney cast members, and it automatically comes with two car seats in every vehicle. They also have accessible vehicles as well. The downfall, of course, is that they cost kind of a lot of money. They can be pricey. I would budget about $40 per ride, and they can also be slow. At peak times, like around park opening, they can take almost a half hour to arrive. But boy, do they make things a lot easier, especially if you're going to Magic Kingdom, where they pick up and drop off right by the front with the buses. I have used minivans more with my child the last few trips than I ever have collectively, because to me, this is an expense that is way more worth it to making my trip enjoyable. Almost, I would rather pay for one minivan, depending on the day, than certain lightning lanes. Just because guaranteeing ease as you enter the park can be so important if maybe your kid is not really doing so great on the trip and you're like just trying to keep them together, like keeping things good. Maybe you're running late for stuff and it's really stressing you out. I think minivans are just a really good trick to have in your back pocket if at any point you need them during your Disney trip. Which leads me to a related tip. And we're doing the serious ones first, and we'll get to the fun, goofy ones closer to the end. But A distillation of all the major travel problems you're likely to encounter come down to this one type of topic. So before you plan anything, before you do anything, decide what you are bringing and what you are not. I know, it sounds kind of cuckoo that you need to decide what you are schlepping onto the plane before you figure out what dining reservations you have, but even before you decide on park admission or if you're going to try to bring a toddler to Nomad Lounge, you're going to want to make a key decision on these four things. Stroller, car seat, crib, snacks. Oh, Carly, why do I have to decide if I'm renting a stroller before I book my flight or plan my days? Well, because I've done this a lot of times now, and it is a messy loop that feeds into itself. What is that word? Ouroboros? It is that. It just never, ever ends. You try to plan one thing, you try to plan another, you try to book a hotel, you try to get a rental car, you try to choose what parks you're going to do which day. It all comes back to stroller, car seat, crib, snacks. I promise you. The first two begin in the flight because you need to figure out if you need to rent a stroller, if you're bringing a stroller, if you're bringing a car seat, if you need to rent a car seat, when you are planning the start of your trip. Because again, it all falls into each other. If you are bringing a car seat, then renting a car might be a little easier for you. If you are bringing a stroller, then you might not need that much on the ground, so you might as well just bring everything with you. And if you have a baby in a doona situation, you probably don't want to use that as your main stroller at the park, so then you have to figure out that you're renting stuff. And if you're renting stuff, you might just want to rent a crib and a stroller together. Again, it all feeds into each other. So choose what is best for you for the flight and let everything else fall into place from there. The crib comes next. Now, at Disney hotels, you can get a pack and play. I have never done it. I do not mess around with Pearl's sleep. I drag a pack and play with us wherever we go. And the reason I include this as the top four, again, the stroller, the car seat, the crib, the snacks, is because you have to think through the travel days. If you're checking a car seat, you're checking a pack and play, you're checking your luggage, you have a stroller, is that too many things for you to physically move around with? Does that affect your budget? Will you need to book a bigger Uber? Or do you need a car service because you need someone there to help you carry everything? Are you landing late and you don't want to chance it if your kid hates the pack and play at the hotel? Or are you probably going to rent some stuff so you might as well just rent a crib from a company so you can travel lighter? It all, trust me, it all feeds into each other. And that informs what you need and what you need to prepare for on your trip. Which leads to, of course, snacks. Because really, are you going to pack and bring everything, or are you going to travel lighter and get it all there? All of these different things feed into that. If you're a Southwest person, especially, you got to start thinking about this, about bag fees and schlepping and how to physically get from one place to another. All of these decisions just kind of set you up for what trip you're going to have. And that way, you don't have to worry about park hopping if you're renting a car. Maybe you can stay somewhere that's further away or a little less expensive if you do choose that. There is a lot to plan out, and I do think that deciding stroller, car seat, crib, and snack sets you up for success, and all other decisions will more easily fall into place. Now, one of the reasons I love going to Disney World with a small child is because Disney is a safe space. And I'm advising you to utilize that. It can be really stressful to bring a small child out and about in the world. Children at this age are too young to be reasoned with and often are still learning basic communication. If you are someone who's maybe refrained from doing certain activities with your kid or you're nervous about how they might react, something I deal with on a daily basis, understand that Walt Disney World is not the real world. Disney is probably the one place on earth where your kid can be crabby, crying, hungry, screaming, and next to nobody will bat an eye. One of my favorite memories with Pearl is bringing her to California Grill for dinner. I was so nervous to take her here at first, so nervous, because while everything at Disney World for the most part is pretty kid-friendly, this place just is special. It's nice. It's elegant. And now, I'm reporting to you from a podcast that last week called that one of my favorite all-time dining experiences and included that as one of my favorite Disney World restaurants because of that experience. We got to view the fireworks. We got to eat a meal. It was something that was so special, like a little date night with my mini-me, and I will never, ever forget it. And I am not brave enough to do that on my own at a fancy restaurant here in Los Angeles. We even went to Narcoossee's when she was 10 months old. And they had the perfect outdoor patio for her to like wiggle around and warm out when she was done with her high chair. Again, all of this stuff works out so well because this is a place that embraces family. And there's nowhere else filled with people and employees who get it more. So take this as an opportunity. Take a chance and step outside your comfort zone as a parent. And if there's something you're not sure about, like braving a nighttime show, taking them out to dinner, taking them on a ride that you don't know if they're going to be able to handle the queue, you can always leave. You can always leave. So give it a shot because you never know what might happen and what memory you might be making. Now, this is one of my biggest and most important pieces of advice. The key to success on your trip is going to be balance. This is my cheat code for going to theme parks so much with a young kid. Things like you cannot go 3 days in a row. You cannot do 3 park days in a row. The heat, the activities, the mania, all of it, it's too much. Build in pool time, build in a hotel day, guarantee that there will be a break. Because your kid is too young to be like, Mama, Papa, I'm tired. But oh my God, they will be. Disney is overwhelming for them, and it can even creep up on them, that overwhelm. Even if they seem like they're totally fine, it can just come out of nowhere. And making sure that you balance your entire trip to give them a break before they need it, to make sure they have what they need, to have enough, what is fuel in the tank? That's the phrase. Enough fuel in the tank to make it through the entire trip is really, really essential because you don't want to burn out on day 3 and then everything else just falls apart. I find the same philosophy works for nap time. Nap time is one of the trickiest things when it comes to bringing a young kid to Disney World. So I, again, focus on balance. If there's 2 naps, I do 1 nap out and 1 nap at the hotel. I also would make one of those naps sometimes a car nap, just somewhere that's quiet and peaceful and alone. Now that Pearl is only on 1 nap and a little older, we did hotel nap one day, no planned nap the next, and so on and so on. We would rotate so that every other day she got a guaranteed nap inside her hotel room. It is one of the reasons I like renting a car because you have somewhere to rely on. But for us at this age, that doesn't apply anymore because she isn't guaranteed to sleep in the car seat. So just keep that in mind. If they are young, it is a cold, air-conditioned place for them to rest and can be very, very reliable. Scheduling a Disney World trip is also very different with little kids, especially when it comes to lightning lanes. You have these locked in hour-long windows that don't always jive with the flexibility you need for a small person who can just fall asleep at random, unpredictable times. So be prepared to view lightning lanes differently. At this age, it's not about cramming in as much as possible into a day. I have that Disney brain, and that is no longer my default perspective. Waiting in lines really stressed me out when Pearl was little because it was just physically hard for me to hold her for a long, long time. Knowing that we could bang out Fantasyland rides with Lightning Lane like Small World, Peter Pan, and Winnie the Pooh in one swoop, even if that felt like a waste of money because those were easier ones to get, was worth it to me at the time. For the parent of a young kid, I found the value in Lightning Lane to more so be the ease of it and the exhaustion management, which is a big part of the trips that goes undiscussed. You need to manage current and future exhaustion, and using something like Lightning Lane can help with that, not to maximize how many things you do, but more so to free up more time so that you have less to worry about. I personally found the most success for us to come from only having Lightning Lane on certain days, knowing that we were going to attempt more attractions then, breeze through them, and then on other days we can enjoy everything else that doesn't require a line, like a play area or live music or the Boneyard at Animal Kingdom. Balancing big ride days with things that had no agenda or itinerary or just easy breezy made the trips flow so much more seamlessly. And if you listen to any of my Disney World trip recap episodes from when I've brought Pearl, you'll see a lot of these patterns kind of emerging and happening over and over and over, contributing to a lot of the trip success that we've had. And my one piece that I feel like I say this over and over and over, and it just proves more true over time. Focus on the key things you want to do. You can absolutely rope drop and go all day with your kid, but they're probably gonna react to it. We will talk about this more later, but I had to stress it up here regardless. And if you miss a Lightning Lane return time because of nap time, which I have done multiple times and multiple ages, just be kind about it, speak to the cast member at the front and explain the situation, and more often than not, you'll probably be okay. Because planning these things around nap time is not easy, especially when they're younger. I mean, you fly all this way, you kind of want to meet Mickey Mouse with their eyes open. You know what I mean? You want your kid to at least see what's happening and not be asleep. And on our trips with Pearl when she was under two, it often took us a long time to get into the park. I'm talking 3 hours door to door. Now, a lot of that is getting dressed, eating breakfast, taking shifts, playing with Pearl while someone else puts their makeup on, making sure we have everything, preparing food, packing bags, and a little extra time if buses are involved. But all of this is why I advocate for balance. Make sure you carve out those guaranteed points of rest. Make sure you are not on a schedule that you typically had when you went without a child. And just make sure that there is enough break in the schedule for you, your sanity, and your child to remain whole. I have talked about this on the podcast before, but just to reiterate, consider booking a Disney Vacation Club hotel room. When I approach a trip with Pearl now, I'm not comparing value, moderate, and deluxe hotel rooms. I'm really deciding between a hotel room and a DVC-style room. And while we've talked about this, just to bring everyone up to date, if you've never booked one before, a Disney Vacation Club-style room, Disney Vacation Club is Disney's timeshare-like program. They operate rooms in Disney hotels that are more apartment-style, either a studio or they have actual bedrooms within them. They live either independently of or within Disney Deluxe Resorts, which tend to have better pools, sometimes better transportation, splash pads, things like that. But they really have this crown jewel when it comes to traveling with little kids, which is a bedroom with a door that closes. They also have sometimes in-room laundry. They have kitchens. Even the studios have kitchenettes with a microwave. And all of that can make your life so much easier. Because this is an age where you probably need to sterilize things or make formula or clean pump parts. And the microwave makes everything a breeze. Because a lot of these rooms have full fridges, you can get groceries delivered. You can make toast in the toaster. You can fill the fridge with berries, the freezer with bags of microwavable steamed vegetables for your kid who only eats berries and steamed vegetables. And now that Pearl is two, we had a great stay recently in a DVC studio style room where she slept in the same room as we did. But when she was young and sleep was so necessary and so kind of infrequent, like frequent and infrequent, like she needed it all the time, but she didn't always get it on vacation, those rooms were a godsend. So if you get a one or a two or a three bedroom, you'll have doors to close. You can let them sleep in a separate room. Your family can sleep in a separate room. It really is glorious and can change your trip so much. And I know people swear by that slumber pod thing that you put over the crib or the pack and play, and it's like, there's a fan and it's dark. No, I'm never using that. I've talked about this enough. I'm never putting a tent over my child. I'm too neurotic for it. I just can't handle it. So for me, it comes down to the hotel room for my survival. And this is an age where they require a lot of work to get up and out the door, and you probably want to wake up first and get ready without disturbing them. You can't set an alarm when you're sleeping in the same room as your kid, but you can if you're in your own bedroom, and it just makes things easier. And it also doesn't always have to break the bank. There are a lot of rooms that are this style available through Disney. You can pay money for them, and you can also book them through your travel agent, which is what I did on my most recent trip. I booked a Disney Vacation Club room at Riviera Resort through my travel agent. Shout out Mouseman Travel, MEI Travel. I love them for a reason because they are incredible to work with. And working with a travel agent makes your life so much easier and they charge you nothing. Listen, I will yell about travel agents all day. I love a travel agent and I highly, highly recommend. But you can also rent points through different third-party companies. You can rent points directly from people. That feels a little more scary for me, but I know people have done it successfully. Use a reputable site so you don't get scammed, or book through a travel agent. Get one of these rooms. If you think it'll really affect your trip positively like I do, I highly recommend it. We are going to take a quick break, and we will get into so much more strategy, day-to-day planning, and some of my must-hear tips for bringing a small child to Disney World. Stick around. We will be right back. There's a lot to look forward to when you're traveling this spring and summer. Maybe you're going on a getaway far, far away. Maybe you're only going a couple of hours by car. But either way, there's one thing that everyone complains about when it comes to travel, and that is actually getting there. However, I have figured out the fix, the way to make it actually nice, actually feel good to stand in a terminal and wait to board your plane. And it's not going to a lounge. It's not getting a credit card. No. It is by loving your travel essentials. And that is why I think you and me both should be treating ourselves to the luxe upgrades that Quince offers with their high-quality travel essentials at fair prices. Because when you are boarding a plane, when you are going somewhere by train, when you're even tossing a bag in your car, it is all better when you love the items that you are bringing with you. They've got everything from premium luggage options, stylish tote bags, and even lightweight European linen clothing from $30 to shove in that bag and be on your way. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you. Now, they want me to talk about what piece of luggage or travel accessory I will upgrade my next trip with. And I'm going to tell you, I need a tote bag. I don't have a tote bag. I have lived a backpack life for so long. And I'm out here in these streets eyeing people with tote bags, seeing those little bags. Oh, you know when people put the little bag and it has the, what is it, the trolley pass through and they put it on top and they're walking through the airport with their little carry-on luggage with their bag? I'm going on a trip very, very soon where I am not checking a bag. And I am determined to get a little Quince something to put on top of my suitcase. So if you are like me and in desperate need of sprucing your travel essentials a bit to make that pinch point just a little more enjoyable, treat yourself to the luxe upgrades you deserve from Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. Because it's not just where you're going, it's also getting there in style.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Procrastination. Putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Welcome back to our Disney World with Young Kids episode. I'm going to tell you, I am so passionate about this that I began recording in a fleece sweater and I am sweating through a t-shirt now because I'm just up here being like, listen, I stand while I record. I'm not like up on a mountain preaching. I'm just like, I'm so passionate about this and I want to make sure that anybody who's timid or concerned or worried or doesn't think it's worth it to take a trip knows all of the ways that it's easy to do and easy to plan to make sure it can happen. It can happen. Go have the memories. They're only this young once. And also, again, they're free until they're three. You're leaving money on the table if you don't go. Now, back to the advice. So perhaps my biggest piece of advice, I talk about this all the time, is to pinpoint your goals in advance. Focus on one thing per day. Or if you have an older kid, one thing per each segment of the day before and after nap time that you would like to do. Now, coming to Disney World and doing one thing is not what's going to happen. You're going to do so much more than that. You're going to live so much life in these few days. And you'll actually probably end up cherishing the small, tiny moments in between that you didn't expect would be most resonant. That's what's happened to me on all my trips. The little things are really what stick out in my brain, not the big things that I was so demanding and passionate that we do. It's not that. But focusing on one main goal each day will help you so much in figuring out what you want to do and making sure you don't leave disappointed. Like, let's say your goal is to see fireworks for the first time with your infant or toddler. We don't want to leave that up to chance. We don't want to spend a whole day at the park and it's finally fireworks time and your kid is exhausted and needs to leave. I think it's best to figure out exactly what the highlights are going to be and to build a trip around that to make sure those goals are met. So if yours is to, again, see fireworks with your child for the first time, let's work backwards. Will that require them staying up later than usual? If so, then maybe all naps that day should be at the hotel, or you should spend the day doing more indoor things to escape the heat, or have this be your chill at the hotel day until the sun sets and the weather is better. Or if you don't have park admission, maybe that means seeing fireworks from one of the hotels outside Epcot or Magic Kingdom. Maybe even making a dinner reservation at a Magic Kingdom resort area hotel so you have something to look forward to and then fireworks after. You see what I mean? If you don't really hone in on what exactly you want out of this trip, you might wind up planning your days completely at odds with what you actually want. Like, say you really want your toddler to meet a certain character. Same thing. Follow that. Pull that thread because it'll dictate what park you have to be in when and all of your transportation and meals and plans around it. And again, I want to emphasize, this entire trip is memory fuel. When I look back, it's the photos of Pearl in the monorail as a baby and looking out the hotel room window with my mom as a toddler that I will cherish just as much as her being on her very first ride. Simply being there really is magical. And I know I sound like a cliche, I sound loony, but I promise you, there's something about being there with family and especially a small child, knowing how much they're going to change in the coming weeks and months and years, locking in those memories in the vault before the next trip. It's all of these moments that you will cherish truly from the moment you go home for years to come. Which brings me to my other point. Be sure to start a new tradition while you're there. You are really launching the legacy of your family vacations at Disney. Whether or not you go back for 20, 30 years, this will be a trip that your family looks back on as your kids' first trip. So make sure, I mean, if it is your first trip, if it's not your first trip, you're still gonna look back on them frequently. Because I do that. I only went to Disney twice as a kid. I didn't expect this to be my career. And I'm out here flipping through all my old photos, just soaking them up. And I'm so glad we have them. And probably that'll be something your family goes through too. So make sure if you do plan on coming back or you just want to start something, to just do a little something on this trip that will serve as a touchstone to return to. Now, this doesn't have to be anything huge. You don't have to like book a photo session. You don't have to do anything gigantic. Just pick a location, just a photo or a video that from trip to trip at the same location, you can reshoot and relive, and it will absolutely blow your mind. And again, it does not have to be big. I'm not saying like some grand gesture. I took this little video of Pearl and I in the reflective area just underneath Spaceship Earth. And even though I missed it on one of our trips, comparing different videos from then and now, even 2 years in, is wild. I am so grateful that I just casually, without even thinking, took little videos and little moments to cherish throughout the trip. And now I can go back and relive them even just a year or two later. Same with the monorail. I have a photo of her on the monorail at every age, every time we've gone, and it is mind-blowing to put them side by side. You don't have to spend money. It's just something you can do for free when you're at the park. It doesn't have to be like a perfect picture with Main Street Mickey or that quintessential castle picture, but something that means something to you and that you can revisit it and keep it in your mind on future trips. And of course, there are souvenirs. You can get buttons and Mickey hats embroidered and t-shirts and autograph books and stuff like that. But I like to keep it easy. I like to keep it cost effective. And I always get Pearl a postcard from wherever we travel to, Disney or not. What I do is I get a postcard and I write a note to her on it. And I often reference little moments I know I would forget otherwise if I hadn't written them down and locked them in. I now have a whole stack of these from all of our trip referencing little moments that just would have fallen out of my brain otherwise. And I can't wait to give them all to her one day. But if you really want to lock in a memory with your young kid, kids under 3 are actually too young for Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, so there is not going to be a real princess, prince, royalty moment for you. But the main major memory that you can tackle here is Harmony Barbershop. Yes, there is a barbershop on Main Street USA at Magic Kingdom, and you can get your tiny little baby a haircut there. I took Pearl on her very first trip at around 9 or 10 months, which is hilarious because she had almost no hair, but it was a really special experience. And I recommend it, even if it's not their first haircut, to just do it to do it. Make sure you plan far enough in advance where you are able to nab this reservation because they go quick. The space is small and they are super booked out. So stay on top of it. It's something you're even curious about doing. Grab that reservation. You can always let go of it, but grab it if it's early enough and then decide from there. And also, just take note of the little bits of advice, which I have collected and am about to tell you. Disney World vacations, as you know, are full of idiosyncrasies, and traveling with infants and toddlers is no different. You know how like we know all those weird ins and outs of like rope drop and crowd arrivals and lightning lanes and crowd flow? The same kind of goes for your trip with your small kid. So here's a bunch of random ones that I want to make sure you know, but kind of don't live in their own category. Know that you generally cannot bring a stroller into a restaurant unless your child is sleeping. If you do, it's going to be a special ask, and often they will request that you leave a stroller outside. You also cannot generally bring your stroller into the baby care center, which makes no sense! That's the baby area! And yet, you gotta take your baby out, you gotta carry them, you gotta carry the diaper and all this stuff. It's whack, and that's a lot of the reason why I don't go in there that much at Disney World. So just plan on that in advance and know you have to carry them and all your stuff in on your own. And we don't actually talk about the baby care center enough in this episode, but look it up, rely on it if you need it. I don't advise it. I now use it a lot at Disneyland. I didn't used to. But I usually don't want to go out of the way for a diaper change. Like, I'd rather just do it in the chaotic bathrooms. But if that is something that is really necessary for you, you want to make sure you use it, definitely head there. I will probably be using it more as Pearl emerges into, like, potty training. But for now, I haven't used it that much, but it is a resource and it is there for you. There's one in each park. And make sure to know where it is and use it. It's available to you and it's pretty great if you need it. There are no kid-friendly utensils at restaurants, so for a young eater, make sure to bring your own with you. Also, bring your own water bottle. At a restaurant, they'll always give you a cup of water, but if your kid's young, they might not want to drink out of that cup, and they might not want to drink out of a paper straw. So make sure you just bring your bottle with you everywhere, especially because if you're leaving your stroller outside a restaurant, just drag everything inside with you. In a pinch, baby snacks can be found at the baby care centers, as well as most deluxe hotel resort gift shops. They're kind of all over, but I recommend bringing them yourself, and I will talk about that in a moment. Now, this is not scientifically proven, but I swear, they have cuter baby souvenirs in the baby care center than in the actual gift shops. Again, this might not be accurate. It's just my personal experience. But I found the best stuff for Pearl as a baby there and did not see the onesie I bought her in a gift shop. So take with that what you will. The heat can be a lot for your kid. And it's almost impossible to get a young kid to drink more water if they don't want to. Just be aware of it, stay on it, preempt it, and just try to keep them as cool as possible, as best as you can. Do not book an early morning flight home because you do not want to be clattering around and making noise and trying to silently pack while they're sleeping. I did it once and exhaustedly tried to pack at midnight, getting all my bags to fit, making sure they didn't weigh too much, trying to be quiet. And I almost had a full breakdown being like, how am I going to juggle this and a stroller and a pack and play? But I have to pack this in the morning and I have to do this and I have to leave this food out. It is too much. Give yourself the morning so you don't have to rush. You don't have to rush home. It's a travel day. You're not going straight to work after. You're going to be burnt out. It doesn't matter. Don't book the first flight out. It is going to be too stressful for you. Also, when you're in the park, make sure to keep tabs mentally on play areas for early crawlers and wiggly toddlers. I'm not going to mention any water play areas because my kid doesn't like them, so we haven't been in many, and so I have nothing to give you when it comes to them. I also don't like dealing with a wet child flopping around, so she also doesn't like it. Anyway, these are the areas I want to make sure that you keep in your mind. And Magic Kingdom, the gardens out in front of the castle are a nice area for them to run around or to kind of crawl around. But the play area inside Dumbo is a great bet because it is air conditioned. The only thing is it can be very, very busy in there. Like kids soup, all these kids trying to get in a tiny toy car. So just keep that in mind. And if you have the time and kind of want to make the memory, Tom Sawyer Island is a hoot because there's all these staircases and they can flop up and down and there's wiggly bridges, but its days are quite numbered. So just keep that in mind. Epcot's got the Seas Pavilion, which has a tiny little play area inside of it, but also staring at stuff in a tank. Ooh, young kids love it. There's also that outdoor playground, which I've talked about. It's cursed. It's made of metal. I'm pretty sure they're redoing it. I have a faint memory of that, but I forgot to look it up. I apologize. But it does the trick in a pinch if it's not boiling hot out. But like, when is Florida not boiling hot out? Journey of Moana, which I almost said Journey to the Center of Moana, which is the parks just flipping around in my brain. The Moana water attraction, as you know it. I gotta eat some crow. I was against this. I thought it was pretty whack. Then I went to it and thought, oh, this is legit. They have a few small sections, one kind of at the beginning and one kind of at the end, that are really great for little kids because of the height. There's a few low attractions, so you don't have to like hoist them up the whole time to look at fountains. Those lower ones, they can get wet, but there's ways for them to not get as wet. But either way, it's a really nice, unique, interactive space that isn't a full-blown water activity, but allows them to like interact with Epcot in a different way. And they've also got that space-based play structure inside Mission Space. I haven't been there yet because Pearl wasn't at full playground obsession yet, but that will be a must on our next trip. Hollywood Studios, honestly, I got nothing for you. Like the ghost of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids play area, like there's nothing. I didn't take Pearl there forever because there's like nothing for her. And in Animal Kingdom, there's the Boneyard, which we will at least have, I believe, until 2026. Thank goodness. A lot of it is for bigger kids, but there is a little kid slide off to the side, which is really fun for them, even at a young, young age. And if you are bringing a young, young kid, I'm just going to be real with you. The milk of it all is going to be really annoying. This one is for my infant and my baby moms. I'm going to tell you, you have never noticed breastfeeding parents at Disney World until you become a parent and you're like, oh, they're everywhere? Why have I never noticed this before? So trust me, you will not be the first person to do it. You will not be the last person to do it. It is totally doable and not at all a reason to deter you from going to Disney World. Now, I've done it. And I'll tell you, having an odd job to do while you're on vacation is a whole other mental load and not awesome, but it is absolutely doable. If you prefer a full pump situation, the baby care centers at all four parks will be immensely helpful for you, but I hate to take breaks, so I used a travel pump. My favorite was the Medela Freestyle travel pump, but use whatever works for you. I even sometimes would use a hand pump if I didn't need to save it, just to like have something to get it out and dispose of it. But when I was with Pearl, for the most part, I would just feed her on demand. I would only pump when I went to Disney World without her. And attractions like Spaceship Earth, Country Bear Jamboree, The Seas with Nemo and Friends, like those are all great ways to pump during or to feed your child during, and no one will really notice. I swear by a Sarah's Chill. That's weird to say out loud. It's just not like how it's spelled. C-E-R-E-S. Once I got one of those, I never looked back. That thing got me through my flight back from Japan. I saved so much milk by being able to do that. But it's basically, ooh. Sorry, I hit the mic. It's basically a milk thermos that keeps milk cold and it's exceptionally convenient. But your girl's cheap. And I knew that if I invested in breastfeeding stuff, I was probably going to stop. So I just didn't for a long, long time, like almost a year, which means that I fully went to Disney World and stored milk in a thin fabric cooler I got for free, shoved it inside a locker at Epcot with Ziploc bags full of ice I got at the airport and quick service restaurants. And that milk was totally fine, even in the heat. I swear, I could do a full ad campaign for Ziploc about why being a mother requires Ziplocs. I filled them with ice. I put it in this cooler. It's like a thin little lunch bag. I put the milk in between. It worked. It was fine in the heat. I put it in a locker in Magic Kingdom, put a locker at Epcot, bing, bang, boom. I can't believe this is the life I've lived. Like, how am I still standing? But anyway, it is pretty simple to do. It feels weird at the time, but it's doable. That said, breastfeeding in this heat is no joke. It is no joke. Be sure to stay hydrated, insanely hydrated. And that might mean more indoor stuff, less walking, and less activity than you're used to. And if I'm saying this, you know it's for a reason, because I didn't listen to the advice and I got very ill at Disney World and it almost ruined my trip. So preempt it, drink a lot of electrolytes, take a break before you think you need it, chug as much water as you can, and just don't be a fool like I was. Now, I, with Pearl, did a mix of breastfeeding and formula, so I always included distilled water in my grocery deliveries early on, so I had it, but the hotel room bottle cleaning, drying, cleansing of it all is a pain in the butt, no matter where you are going on vacation. My mom bought me like a travel bottle dryer with like the sticks, which you arrange everything on to dry overnight, which was super helpful, and whenever I went to Disney World with Pearl, I would pack a wash basin, a baby dish soap bottle, bottle parts, a brush, and even microwavable sanitizing bags, which were great for those DVC rooms. Again, it's a lot to carry in the first year, but I just don't think it's worth skipping vacation because there's a little hiccup along the way. Which brings me to this point, especially for my bigger babies and infants. Just understand the dining on this trip is going to be different than before. You will need to bring snacks for your child. You will need to bring snacks for your child. I cannot emphasize this enough. You will need to bring snacks for your child. For toddlers, leftovers from quick service or table service meals should suffice, but they won't. And I've learned this the hard way so many times. Takeout boxes at Disney World are foldable, cardboard style. They like don't fully close and they don't hold food well. You put them in your stroller and you're never gonna see them again. The perennial heat in Florida means anything you have is just kind of gonna be like curdled and sweaty within a few hours. So whether I'm picking up groceries on the way or ordering them to my hotel, I always stock up and bring no less than 3 snacks with me at all times. And remember, this is a different version of your kid, okay? This is vacation kid. Imagine if, instead of you going to your office every day, you were plucked from your home life and brought to a gigantic, busy mall with a huge castle, and every 60 or so minutes, you sat in a boat and saw tiny people dancing? Or sat in a pirate ship and floated over a city? Or sat in a pot of honey and bounced up and down? Like, these places are kid-friendly, but it's a lot! It's a lot for their brains and a lot for their bodies, and they are going to eat completely differently than they do back at home. At home, we get away with a little something here, a little something there. At Disney World, I am stocked like a grocery store. I have puffs in my stroller caddy. I have a cold lunch bag with string cheese. I have a fanny pack with a variety of granola bars and wholesome snacks if she needs anything while we are in line. And you know how you have to bring a bunch of different food on the airplane for them to munch on? It's that. It's that, but for your whole trip. Because even if you have 3 mealtimes set up, they are vacation kid. They are not home kid. They might not want chicken fingers and macaroni and cheese at mealtime, even though they're obsessed with both of them. And they won't eat it, and you'll leave the restaurant, and they'll be starving 30 minutes later. So I always, always pack and order food. When Pearl was a baby, I ordered bananas, a variety of baby food pouches, teething crackers, and as she got older, I added in shredded cheese, berries, yogurt pouches. If I was in a DVC room with a microwave, I'd get frozen microwavable bags of corn, broccoli, I think carrots, things like that. And now that she's a toddler, I added granola bars, mozzarella sticks, cheddar crackers, apples to cut into slices, peanut butter and bread for sandwiches, and other kind of packaged snacks. The majority of Disney Park snacks, the quick service food, aside, like that's fine. But the majority of snacks, like snack counter walk up and grab something, is not baby or kid friendly. And if it is, it's usually really high in sugar. And when I am on a long trip to Disney World, 3, 4, 5, 6 nights, I just try to keep sugar to a minimum and keep it special just to keep their baseline as intact as possible. So just be sure you have something on you at all times because hunger can derail a trip in moments. I also pack any favorite foods that I know they'll really want in case the grocery store I'm ordering from runs out and can't fulfill the order. For us, that's Bamba. I can't get on an airplane without having Bamba. I even saw, this is a true story, I don't think I talked about it in this podcast. I even saw a man who worked for Bamba Corporate on my flight back from Florida to Los Angeles, the last flight I went on. I saw a man, he had a polo, said Bamba. He had a suitcase, like a business suitcase, said Bamba. I saw him and I gasped. I looked and went, oh! You were my mama. And he looked at me and he's like, I'm so sorry, I don't have any on me. And I was like, oh, don't even worry about it. I have enough Bamba for the entire airplane. So that's something that I always pack. I try to be cognizant of peanut allergies. I try to like be careful with it. But stuff like that where you're like, my kid's gonna need this for our trip, make sure to have it with you. I'm also a big advocate for making sure they get real food at least once per day. Quick service meals are so easy, in my opinion. Like, I often look at the sides of adult entrees to see what we can split, what I can share with her. But I take her to plenty of sit-down restaurants, too. But be warned, if you are splurging on a table service restaurant, which is pretty costly at Disney World, you're likely going to be scarfing your food. It's why I really don't recommend a buffet meal when your kid is this little, unless it is something like Beer Garden, which I talked about in last week's episode. Because you're going to pay the bill at the end and be like, this much money for me to, like, get up, toss a bunch of food on a plate and shove it in my face while trying to take care of them and keeping them in their chair. It's just a lot. But there is, again, a benefit to kids under 3 because they can eat off your plate, no problem, and generally eat for free at a buffet. That is the huge perk of a buffet. But if you order them a dish at somewhere like Topolino's Terrace, you will have to pay, but they can have some of your food and it's all good. Now, I could talk about bringing a baby or a child to Disney World for hours. Like, for hours. I could tuck in and do, like, a 12-hour live podcast about this. It's truly a book. Like, this is a book. But honestly, I'm just gonna leave you with the final word, which is this. Screw it. Do whatever you want. Yeah, it's my podcast, so I get to be as crazy as I want to be. And for me, that means screw it. I'm packing everything. My packing story finally went live over at New York Magazine on The Strategist. If you look up, like, I'll put it in the links in the show notes, but it's The Strategist's story about how to pack your stroller for Disney World. And I have realized some people prefer to bring less. Some people, it brings them calm. It brings them ease on a complicated trip to just have the essentials. But for me, I need everything. I need everything. And every time I pack a suitcase, someone's telling me I'm packing too much. Someone's telling me it's too heavy. Someone's telling me I don't need all this. But I like to be prepared. Like, oh, what? I'm going to have a full stroller and look like I care too much? I want to have everything I need at my fingertips to make sure my kid's happy. And for me, that brings me calm. So for you, whatever that is, follow through. It's your trip. Do whatever works for you. If you want to go somewhere that you're like, I don't know if I should bring a toddler here, but I want to go, do it. Do whatever you'd like. Listen, it's your life, and I just think you should fulfill it as much as possible. Bring a snack tray. I swear by Bagu. I kind of color code my bags for diapering and food. That's just me. That's how my brain works. You don't have to do that. Again, the story, now that it's out, finally has a lot of that information. I don't like to bend. I get dizzy when I bend down a lot. It's a whole thing. I don't have pots. It's like a whole thing. I don't want to get into it. So I like to hang things off the stroller so I don't have to crouch too often. If your kid is young, pack headphones. My tale is that we didn't really use them until we wound up seeing John Stamos do Candlelight, and there were a lot of instruments, and we very much needed them. We could not have gotten through that show without the headphones. So bring it. Bring the headphones. Like, it's helpful to have, and if you don't need them, fine. It's all good. If you want to pack snacks in advance so you have them on your flight back so you don't have to worry when you're leaving your hotel room, do it. Whatever makes you happy. This is your trip. This is your opportunity to make a special memory with a child in your life and probably with your family. So have fun and do whatever you need to do to make it easier on you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, I feel like we're just scratching the surface, but this is really just what I want to pump you up with before you plan your trip. If you have any questions, 747 Churros at any time, day or night, I am here for you. I'm happy to help. And I hope that if you were kind of on the fence before, I hope maybe you're more into it now. Again, you will look back at the photos and your mind will turn to mush. You will not believe they were that small. You will not believe that you did that stuff with them. And it just, over time, every trip accumulates and gets more and more special. Thank you so much for listening. Let me know if you need any help. And if you are going to Disney World with a small child or just now thinking about it, have so much fun. Have the most fun, because that's what it's about. It's about having a good time.
Hey Carly, this is Courtney from St. Louis. I am a longtime listener, first-time caller. Love your podcast so much, and your podcast is actually what got me into podcasts. So thank you for making me love it so much, because I love them now. My husband and I are taking my almost 2-year-old daughter to Disneyland for her second birthday in May. We're so excited. We did Disney World with her when she was about 8 months old, and we loved it. It was so much fun, but she's now in love with Mickey and Minnie and Goofy and all of the things just as much as we are, so we cannot wait to take her. My question for you is, what do you recommend for that age to entertain them while we're waiting in line for rides? I think she's going to love the rides, but I am very scared for how we are going to keep this wiggly little munchkin entertained for who knows how long while we're waiting in line. Also, if there's anything you recommend for travel, because we have a nice long flight from St. Louis to Long Beach. And then also the best snacks to bring around the park. I know you've mentioned the seaweed things that Pearl loves. We haven't done that. I might need to try it. But just other little snacky things. I know we'll definitely be getting some stuff there, but if there's anything you recommend for snacks, travel, entertainment toys, I would love to hear it. Thanks so much. Bye.
Courtney, what a perfect episode to call in for. I got this call a couple days ago. The timing worked out great. I am so happy to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. Also, for now being into podcasts, that is truly an honor that I helped introduce you to a new form of media. I'm obsessed with this. I'm so happy, and I hope you found other ones that you also enjoy and now can like occupy your time with fun little adventures and people talking on mic. I really love podcasting. I think it's amazing that we have this, and I can't even really remember a world before it. Anyway, enough with that. Okay, so here's the deal. Because you did Disney World at 8 months old and you are going to Disneyland with a about 2-year-old, you have so much less to worry about. You've already done this at a younger age, so now it's similar but different, but you've already experienced the big show. So for you, coming to Disneyland, I think, will be easier because everything is a bit smaller and more compact. Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, it's so easy to see these characters just by entering the park. They're just around. And you also got Toontown, got them at California Adventure. Like, you're kind of set up for success here. But that doesn't mean these aren't fantastic questions. Now, if you're wondering what to do when you're in line and entertaining your child, I actually worry about this less at Disneyland because a lot of the rides you'll probably be going on won't really have astronomically long lines. Fantasyland at Disneyland, it's so compact and full of things that your child can ride that you'll probably feel like you're getting a lot more done than you would have otherwise. These rides are really on top of each other, and you can stand in the middle of Fantasyland and look at 1, 2, 3, 4, probably 6 or so attraction wait times just by spinning in a circle. Like, it's very easy just to get a gauge on what is easiest to ride next, and that kind of alleviates this issue a bit. There are exceptions, of course. Peter Pan is kind of a brutal wait, but since you've already braved Disney World, I really think you're more prepared for this than you think you are. But the tricky thing here, I find, is not the length that you're waiting for a ride, like I would feel towards Disney World, but more because the park is older and the footprint is so small, so the queues for some of these rides can be really narrow and really small. And the challenge at this age can kind of be to keep your kid contained, like to keep them from climbing the railings and things. So you no longer have to physically carry them, which I personally find to be much easier. But for us, the best thing to kill time when you're waiting in line and you're like, oh my God, my kid just wants to run in a circle and they are trapped in this small little corridor. For us, the best thing has really been to talk to our kid about what they see around them, about what they can expect on the ride, or, oh, what's that hanging on the wall? We recently did a 25 or so minute wait for Mater's Junkyard Jamboree over at Disney California Adventure because my girl is obsessed with cars now. And she was quite wiggly. We just had lunch. I think she maybe had dessert after. Like, she was there. She was like really, really, really wanted to go on the Mater ride and been talking about it for so, so long. And I found the best approach was just to keep her engaged, to point at the license plate, to be like, what color is that? What is that? Is that a character? What's this? And be like, oh, these are Mater's friends. And to have her look at the vehicle, see the ride running over and over and over. Just kind of keeping her engaged in what was about to happen made the time kind of fly by. And I could have given her a toy or a thing to play with, but I really feel like they're kind of overwhelmed by what's happening at this age. Like, they're taking it all in and they're soaking it up, and there is a lot going on around them that I think giving a toy or a distraction perhaps wouldn't have helped and would have maybe made the feeling of waiting a little too much before they get on a ride. Like, I think you got to prepare them for what's next. So weirdly, like, old school talking through it is the best method, which I didn't feel the same way when Pearl was younger. I was like, here's a rattle, here's a thing, here's a toy. Like, I wanted her to be just like ready to go. But at this age, I like to set her up for what the ride will be before we get there so that she is like ready for what comes next and not freaked out by it at all. Also, if I'm ever concerned, a lot of times if I go to the park with her alone and I'm like, okay, like my girl's got to keep it together in this ride line, I like to give her a snack if the timing works out. And I really like a snack cup. I use the mushy snack cup. It's like a little, you've seen these. It's like a silicone cup with two little handles, but I'll put her puffs or her food in there to make sure they don't fall out. And so then I'm not giving her a bag, because if you have this age, listen, if you have a bag of snacks, if you have like a little bag of crackers, they're like, gimme, I want to hold it. They hold it, they all fall out. And then you're doomed. Maybe they're upset about it. You run out of food. It's just too much. But putting it in the little cup ensures that you don't lose it, stays in there. It gives them something to hold, something tactile to kind of play with. And it just solves a little bit of that tricky situation for me. And worst case scenario, if you get to Disneyland and you're like, oh my God, we blew through all of the toys on the airplane, which I will get to in a second. But like, we blew through everything. I have no, like I have no trick up my sleeve. I have no like a secret thing I can do in my back pocket. What do? Buy a bubble wand. Buy a bubble wand. That thing is delightful. It never stops bringing joy. And personally, I enjoy it so much. It's very fun to walk through bubbles at any age, and just having that on hand will help you immensely. Whatever you do though, do not put that in a bag with things you care about. I have done that. I flooded all of my electronics, and explaining that to someone at the Apple store when you bring an armful of damaged goods because of a Buzz Lightyear bubble wand, it's an awkward conversation. And I just don't want that for you. As for the flight, okay, this is a whole other beast, and I should maybe do a standalone episode on this because I do fly with Pearl a lot, and I feel like we're kind of in a rhythm. It's not going to be easy. I mean, that's what I'm going to tell you. My method is just to bring everything, to bring all sorts of things to entertain her and hope something sticks. I will probably do some videos on these because every time I'm on an airplane with her, I take notes about how long she plays with each toy, and I take little videos, and I just never end up putting out the video. But on our most recent flight, I always throw in like a few wild cards, a few things where if I'm like, well, I'm in trouble, here's a random thing. Everyone's like, bring tape. My kid doesn't like tape. Oh, tape the toys to the window. It'll occupy them for hours. You just don't know what they're going to like until they're there. And for some reason, on the last flight I took her on, Play-Doh was the one thing that she really clung on to. So throw a little few random things in your bag on top of the stuff that you already like and already play with. And I feel like that's the key to just covering your bases in case things get tricky. Again, I will loop back on that, but I send you prayers and I recommend you bring lots and lots of toys. But for snacks, this is one I can fix for you. You will be so lucky because even if you're not packing a bunch of stuff or doing grocery delivery, anything like that, you will have drugstores within walking distance. There's like a Walgreens, a CVS, whatever. There's multiple of them that are right by the hotels and right by the resort. And you just don't have that within walking distance at Disney World. So if you need anything, you can just bop in somewhere and get that stuff easily. But when I bring Pearl to the parks, I really like to bring a version of snack food that is familiar, but is something she hasn't seen before. So for me, the categories are like puffs, bagged snack, granola bar, pouch. So if she usually has seaweed, like you mentioned, I'll get her Annie's Cheddar Bunnies. If she usually has applesauce, I'll get her a different brand, or get her a yogurt pouch or something that's similar but a little different. Basically stuff that she recognizes that isn't too random and different, but still fun, like it's still within her wheelhouse for this age, is typically the most successful snack I can bring. Or honestly, whatever I'm eating, she always wants a piece of. So if I pack something for me that I know she's going to end up eating, it's kind of a win. End up eating, it's a win-win, because then we both get a little nosh and we both walk away happy. I hope this is helpful. Let me know how your trip goes. Call me back if you have any other questions, and have so much fun at Disneyland. Have so much fun! That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Very Amusing. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. You know how that works. Thank you to everyone who's ever done that. Thank you to anyone who shares an episode with a friend, especially this one. If you get a text of maybe you're a Disney person and someone's going with a kid and they're like, ah, help! I partially make these episodes so that you don't have to like type out a bunch of stuff. You just send them links and be like, here you go, you're good. And then everybody wins. Also, this is way easier than having to like study up on a lot of stuff. I just think it's really nice to press play and then learn a lot through the podcast. You can give us a call about literally anything at 747 Churros. Try me. Ask me any questions. Ask me about life. Ask me about parenthood. Ask me about my skincare routine. It's not good. You're going to get a very uneven answer because I keep needing to exfoliate and I don't, and I just go to bed and it's not a good situation. It's a bad cycle that I'm stuck in. I'm just up at night watching Will Trent, and then Will Trent, my newest obsession. You know how I fall all in on a TV show. I'm currently on season 3 of Will Trent, and it's been like a week since I started. I'm obsessed, but that's besides the point. Anyway, you can call about Will Trent, you can call about anything to the 747 Churros hotline, and I will probably play your call on an episode or a standalone Churros episode, because we are almost getting there. We gotta have one in the season. It's coming. It's coming in the next few weeks. You can send a voice note or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. But yeah, reach out. I love to hear from you. I love it. As you know, we are planning a group trip. Thank you to everyone who responded with the survey I put out there. We got, let's just say, more responses than I anticipated, and I am overjoyed. I like truly can't process what is happening. I cannot wait for this. And I will keep you posted once the dates are locked for our group trip and I can reveal all of the fun things that we are going to be doing together. Stay tuned. I want to tell you more, but I can't, so I'm just going to move on. Follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet and join the family at facebook.com/groups/Carly Wiesel. Subscribe to my Instagram at Carly Wiesel. It's 99 cents a month. As I've said before, I post a lot there when I'm traveling. I have a lot of travel coming up, so you are going to get 99 cents worth of shenanigans. I guarantee it. This episode was edited skillfully by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. I love you so much. I was hoping for another intro, though, from Pearl. I'm sorry. You're wonderful, but I just love that little voice. I did make you send me a copy of it so I can play it over and over and over, and I play it all the time. All right, food. The German Bear Garden buffet at Epcot was so much fun. I think I went back 3 times. I had the best time. I did take a little Mac from the kids, but that's okay. I had everything. They had salads, and they had salmon, and they had meat, and they had rolls, and they had the apple strudel for dessert. I did have a couple pieces. It was great. This episode is so good because I've been to so many of the restaurants that you're talking about, but the buffet went on and on, so many choices. And when the band said, okay, children are invited to come down and dance, you and I grabbed Pearl and ran to the dance floor. It's so much fun. All right, then we went to the breakfast at Topolino Terrace. That was the restaurant at the Riviera Resort. The character singing and dancing was so much fun. That honeypot bread basket was so good and so warm. The croissants, the muffins, great breads. It was so delicious. Wine Bar George, I'm skipping around a little, is kind of one of my favorites, too. I like George very much. He's so personable and so kind and so knowledgeable with wine. But George, he can usually see him walking around by the tables, greeting everyone, and then he'll come by and tell you about the new drinks to try. He's so great. The food is excellent. But we did go this last time to Summer House. We have one in Illinois, and I didn't love it half as much as the Summer House on the lake in Disney Springs. The food was delicious, and yes, the warm melted cookies at the end was to die for. It was so good. But that doesn't mean we didn't go to Gideon's afterwards because we had to stock up. California Grill is such a great experience. It's such rich food, but walking outside in the middle of dinner to watch the fireworks is such a beautiful memory. I just love that. But I think I went with you years ago, the last time I went to Tiffin's, and they had the whole fried sea bass. It was amazing, but I don't think they have that anymore. I'm not sure. I'm a big fan of everything Grand Floridian, from the smell when you first walk in to that beautifully decorated grand room. I did like the cafe. I had a great sandwich there, which saved me on my 3-hour delay flight. The sandwich was delicious on the way home. Well, it's time to hit the fridge because I am starving from all this food. I really am hungry. Great week, honey. I love you so much. I love you, Pearl. And I think I now love Reacher. Okay, see you soon. Bye, honey.